Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Untold, the story of the Jamaican community in Canada, a podcast produced by journalism students at Mount Royal University as part of the Community Podcast Initiative. This series explores the stories of Jamaicans to learn more about their culture and heritage and their contributions to Canadian society.
We'll talk to people about what it was like to leave Jamaica and how they've adjusted to life here, their successes and the challenges they've faced. We'll hear how they've shared their culture and knowledge with Canadians through food, the arts, business, spirituality, healthcare, and education. Many of their stories have been overlooked and untold.
I'm Delia Stavropoulos.
And I'm Fozia Joba.
And in today's episode, we're speaking with Marcia Lawrence Francis, a Jamaican-Canadian whose story is grounded in resilience, family, and faith. Although Marcia came to Canada at just 5 years old, she still carries the values she learned from her mother: hard work, determination, and the belief that you can achieve anything you set your mind to.
Her journey takes her from Toronto to Saskatchewan and eventually Alberta, where she found purpose in community work, church life, and supporting women and children facing abuse. We'll hear about the racism her family faced, the moment that helped her feel she truly belonged, and the powerful influence of her mother's legacy.
Her story shows how values, faith, and resilience can shape a life and community. You'll hear lessons that can inspire anyone navigating challenges far from home.
Marcia Lawrence Francis, welcome to Untold.
To start off, can you please tell us a bit about your childhood in Jamaica and what values that shaped you growing up?
Being born in Jamaica, wasn't raised in Jamaica, came to Canada when I was about 5 years old, but my experience in Jamaica has been amazing. I was able to see how my father established a very successful construction business there and gained ethics right from the start about working hard to get what you want in life.
So those ethics and values, do you feel like you grew into them and that shaped you as you are today?
Oh, absolutely. If I didn't see both my parents showing those values and impressing them upon us or six children, I don't think I could have those values to pass on to my daughter if it wasn't for my parents. So that shaped me into who I am today.
What values do you think you put onto your daughter or even those around you, like in your and with your work, people you see around, like just me, what values do you think you put it on?
One of the values that I really hold dear to my heart is I can do anything once I put my mind to it, and I pass this on not just to my daughter, but to anyone who come in contact with me. I say, don't let fear be your barrier. Don't let what people think or impress on you that you can or cannot do. You shape your own future. You do what you can do and set your mind to achieve what it is that you want to achieve.
I love that, and I think that's very influential for other people to hear. Do you feel like not a lot of people you meet have those values, and do you think it's very important to share those?
There are people that I come in contact with now, young people and even older people than myself. They allow societal blockages to limit how far they can go. If society say you can't, then they just automatically assume that they can't. And for me, society does not dictate what I can and cannot do. I set those boundaries and I live by those.
Amazing. Thank you all for that. So going back to immigrating here when you were five, what inspired your family to move here?
Well, based on the information that was given to me from my dad as well as from my mother, my dad saw something in my mother that she could actually excel. At the time when she was leaving Jamaica, she was a seamstress. And my dad wanted more for her and for us as kids. So the idea was that she would come and make a way that for the rest of the family to achieve more here in Canada. And she accomplished that.
So all her accomplishments, did that really motivate you to work harder? And from what you've seen her do, did that make you put on those values onto your children?
Oh, yeah. So I grew up watching my mom being a single mom in Canada, new immigrant. She came, she established a foundation for us. in Toronto first, and then we all migrated to Regina, Saskatchewan. And I've only seen my mom work hard in everything. She became a nurse here in Canada. She was able to establish 3 successful nursing homes, senior citizen homes. And we worked with her as children in the homes, learning certain things, skills, fighting for what you want in life. You know, and yeah, that's a value that I hold dear, and that's a value that I pass on to my daughter. I said, whatever you achieve in life, you have to work hard to get it. And I think that's an important value. Work hard for what you want.
I think that is a very important value. Do you think working harder is harder to do than what you say it is? Like, if you say work hard, do you think it's harder to do it?
It is definitely harder, especially because we're minorities, right? And I always say, whatever somebody else can achieve, you're going to have to work twice or 3 times harder to achieve it because we are minorities. It's not easy to be a minority in Canada. There's a lot of things that we can achieve. I don't think there's anything we can achieve, but I think what is required of us versus what it would be required from somebody else is more. It's more.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that. We're going to go to your first years in Canada. When you first arrived, what were some of the biggest challenges your family faced, and how did you navigate those in your early years?
One of the biggest challenges that we faced was racism. Toronto is a very multicultural place anyway, but, and I must say, it was, in terms of racism, it was easier there in Toronto than it was in Saskatchewan, because there's so much less Black families in Saskatchewan at the time than in Toronto. But we still face racism there. I remember earlier on as a child, I remember other students from, you know, the white culture would pick on my sister, not so much me, although she's older than me, but on her because she was more quiet and more timid, and they would pick on her. And I felt like I was always fighting those battles for her to let them know, no, this is not the family you pick on, kind of thing. So that was a big thing for us.
When you moved to Calgary, did you experience any racism, or was it mostly in Toronto and Saskatchewan?
I have to say it was mostly in Toronto and Saskatchewan. I didn't feel like there was a lot of direct racism. I knew it was there. It was that underlying thing. I didn't experience it up close and personal, but in Saskatchewan, I really did. Really, really did. But not so much here in Alberta, no.
All those negative experiences with racism, discrimination, those made you work harder, correct?
Definitely. If someone tells me that I can't, that's just, you just challenged me to show you that I can. So I used all those negativities as stepping stools, not stumbling blocks.
I love that. And I think that can go on to a lot of minorities and a lot of different people. And that's really amazing to hear. Can you describe a turning point or a moment when you realized you weren't just surviving here, but starting to belong?
Oh, wow. You know, when I first came to Alberta years ago, I actually came to go to university to study social work. And when I started studying that, I also had the opportunity to volunteer at CASA, Calgary Community Against Sexual Abuse. And I think once I started volunteering there, I felt like I had a purpose working with these abused women and children in this shelter. And that was a turning point for me. I realized, okay, I have some kind of potential to encourage them and to be a support system for them. And I think that's when I start to feel like I belong here. The other thing that helped me feel like I belonged here in Alberta was my church family. That was a big part for me. That was the backbone for me that, yeah, I found a home here in Alberta because of those 2 things that I was able to become a part of and, you know, kind of dug deep into those things for myself.
That's amazing to hear. Do you put on going to church to your family? Is it a big part of your family?
Oh, we grew up in church. That's a part of our Black culture, but that's a lifestyle. It's like you get up in the morning and you know, you shower, you don't leave the house without your underwear. Going to church, it's not just an act. It's a part of who we are, right? You don't get up and leave it behind and then you pick it up when you come home. It is our daily lifestyle.
Because church is a daily lifestyle for you, would you say church has also added on a sense of resilience and bouncing back from things that have happened to you, like something to rely on almost that's going to be always there?
It's going to always be there. And I try to impress that upon my daughter, that that is our survival. It's like taking a breath. If you don't take the breath, you eventually will die because you need the oxygen to live. For us, being a Christian and being a part of the church community is the breath that helps us live, because life is going to throw so many different things at you. I think recently I've heard that Jamaica was devastated by the hurricane. Jamaicans are resilient. We face a lot of things in Jamaica and outside of Jamaica. We face so many things. But one thing I know for sure is that having the faith is our strong point. That is the thing that gives us the resiliency. That's the thing that helps us to get up and move on.
Would you say resiliency is a common theme in the Jamaican community?
Oh, God, yes, it is. I mean, people talk about it even just before I got here. We were saying that even though the island is destroyed, we see people saying, well, at least we're alive and we'll just have to get up and rebuild. That's just the mentality you have to have in everything, in every part of life. Life is going to throw some rough stuff at you, but you just have to tell yourself, I have to get up and move on. There's no standing still.
All this resiliency you talk about, do you think that this goes on to your other siblings as it does with you?
Absolutely. I see this in my brothers. I see this in my sister. I remember when my mother passed away, I felt like, oh my God, how are we going to go on? Like, the foundation is gone now. But because my mom did such an awesome job in passing on those strength to us, all of us are excelling. And I'm not saying that they haven't been rough patches. My brother almost died. He got into a car crash. All his bones were broken, and he came through. He came through, and about a year and a half later, he got hit with COVID, and he got sepsis, and he recovered. We thought, they called us to the hospital to say our goodbyes, and he came through. And I just see time and time again, we overcoming obstacles in our lives as a family, individually and as a family, and we overcame them all. And I think we're going to continue to overcome them because of our faith.
All this resiliency, does this go into your job at all?
Oh, yeah. Especially in the industry that I'm in right now, being an insurance broker. Yes, because today business could be just booming and everything is going great, and tomorrow not so much. This industry is like a heartbeat. It goes up, it comes down, it goes up and it comes down. So you have to be resilient in the downtimes and brace yourself so that when you're up, you make preparations for those downtimes.
Thank you so much for all that. That was amazing.
Going into your culture, family, and identity, now that you've built your life here, how do you stay connected to Jamaica and keep those roots alive for your daughter?
Several different ways we keep that identity and the connection. We're very involved in what's happening here in the Jamaican Association and the different cultural events that take place. We take part in those. Again, our church is also a strong foundation. And we also travel back to Jamaica at least twice a year. So we don't lose that connection. We are a part of that connection. We have friends and family here that are from Jamaica, and so we stay rooted anyway.
That's awesome. So since you travel back and forth to Jamaica, and as well as you live here, what does home mean to you now? That is it tied to a place, a feeling, or the people around you?
That's a very good question. Home is tied to the people around us. It's not a structure for us. It's who you're with. It's what you're doing together. It's how you're sharing. It's how you're loving. Because buildings might crumble. You may move, but home is who you are and who you're sharing that with.
Would you say that Canada has changed your connection to Jamaica culture?
I don't know if it has changed my connection per se, because like I said before, when I migrated here to Canada, my mom made sure that we were going home every summer break. So I felt like it was a given that we would be going home to Jamaica. So we're here and we do what we need to do here, but home is home.
I think that's so true. It's really about the people around you. Going into your values and your faith, how do they guide your decisions and the way you
show up in your community?
Because I see beyond me. My faith plays a big role in how I live, how I speak, how I demonstrate. I try to reflect what I believe, and what I believe in is Jesus. And so whatever I do and say must represent, right? I can't act one way and believe one way. It's all one thing for me. And of course, some days you're going to fail miserably, but at least I know I have those guardrails. It's like bowling, right? You have those guardrails. And so my faith is my guardrail in making sure that I represent correctly.
That's awesome. Have you ever felt where your faith has been tested from what your community expects of you or what your faith teaches you? Have you ever felt torn between the two?
Sometimes. I have to admit, I mean, even on my way here, I was in a meeting that was just frustrating me, and the self in me wanted to react differently than how my faith would expect me to react. But like I said, my faith is my guardrail. So I have to remember that when a word leaves my mouth, I can't take that back. When I demonstrate a behavior, I can't take that back. So I have to be careful about what I say and what I do before I do it.
I think that's very true. How has your sense of community here in Canada grown, and what role does it play in your life here?
My sense of community is really good here in Canada. I have some great people that surrounds me. I have great friends. I have a good family foundation, because from my immediate family, my brothers and my sisters, I'm the only one here in Alberta, but nonetheless, we communicate like every other day. So I have some good friends here. Some are Jamaicans and some are not, but nonetheless, they're a great support system for me here.
Can you describe a time where you had to step into the community and support in an unexpected new way?
Well, actually, yes. Last night was the first night of me being on a committee for the hurricane relief in Jamaica, and there's a big Jamaican population here in Calgary. Though we are here and we are not directly affected, indirectly we are, because that's still home. And we know of friends and close-knit people who have been affected. They've lost a roof, they've lost clothing, they've lost shelter, they've lost everything. And so we're stepping in, and I'm a part of that committee to help get goods and supplies down to them. So that's big for me.
It's awesome that you found that role and you're able to support and help with the relief committee. It's very unfortunate that and sad to see what was happening in Jamaica. So you stated that you have a lot of friends that are not Jamaican as well, and community around you. How would you try to navigate the cultural differences when trying to connect with those people?
I don't try to navigate around it. I don't think about it. I think people are people. I embrace everybody, and I hope everyone can embrace me. So it just comes natural. You see somebody, you find a common ground, and you go from there. Navigating to me, it kind of feels like it's a chore or something that I have to do. I don't find that with communicating with people.
And it's very true. Looking back for your legacy and reflection, when you think about your story, your parents, your journey, and your own, what legacy do you hope to pass to your daughter and future generation?
I hope to pass to my daughter, I want her to remember that it's not what society say you are. Don't look at yourself through the lens of society and from people. Look through the lens of God. Because at the end of the day, people be with you today and they may not be with you tomorrow, you know? And if you're gonna live your life based on that, you're gonna be on a forever roller coaster. And that can deplete you. That can be draining to you. So don't look through the eyes outside of you. Don't look through those lenses, because those will fail.
That's awesome advice. When it comes to your daughter, is there any sort of lesson that you went through that you've grown from that you don't necessarily want your daughter to go through, but pass on the wisdom from that lesson?
That's a difficult one, because my daughter told me just recently that, Mom, sometimes it's not so much what you say to me. I want to have those experiences too. You know, I can only do my best in passing on the values that my mom passed on to me. But at the end of the day, I realize that she's going to have to live her life. And if I think I've done a good job in putting guardrails in place, I think I'm confident that she'll stay within those guardrails. And that even if she steps out, she knows that it's not all about her. She reflects me and her father, and she reflects our faith. So I'm confident that those guardrails are in place and she'll be okay.
That's awesome. I can see
from everything you've told us about your family's values, beliefs, and what you guys hold in your household, I feel like your daughter definitely is going to be able to use your experiences and your grandma's experiences and everything that's been taught down generations to continue to excel in life. Is there a lesson from your journey that you hope listeners and especially other immigrant families to take away from your story?
I can't remember who this artist is that sung this song, "We Fall Down But We Get Up." But that's what I want people to take away from this story. I watched my mom hit some roadblocks, but she's never allowed those roadblocks to stop her. She get up and she went. My mom lived with sickle cell anemia for years. From the time she was born, she had that disease and the pain was excruciating, but I've never ever seen her stop. And if she can get up and go to a 12-hour shift at the hospital in those pain, then I can do anything. I can achieve anything, no matter what obstacles come in your way, use them as your stepping stone to get over.
Wow, the resilience in that honestly is very empowering. I feel like I can speak for the both of us when I say we are very honored to hear your story, very motivational, and it was a pleasure of having this interview with you. Thank you again, Marcia.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to do this with you. That was Marcia Lawrence Francis, a remarkable Jamaican-Canadian whose story reminds us of the power of family, faith, and resiliency. Thanks for listening to Untold, the story of the Jamaican community in Canada, a podcast produced by journalism students at Mount Royal University in Calgary as part of the Community Podcast Initiative. I'm Delia Stavropoulos.
And I'm Fozia Joba. This series was produced on the lands of the Niitsitapi Blackfoot, Iethka Nakoda, Tsuut'ina, and Métis people. We recognize the stewards of these lands and the knowledge they bring to our understanding of authentic storytelling.
Special thanks to Dr. Marva Ferguson and the Jamaican Community Association Alberta, who have been so supportive in helping us put this series together. Be sure to subscribe to the show to hear the latest episode and to discover new podcasts from the Community Podcast Initiative on our website, thepodcaststudio.ca.